All right. Let's take it. Let's take it to West Virginia, where we have Sean Pendergast joining us now for a practice report live from West Virginia, courtesy of Yuengling. And it is the man who is you hear every morning, 6 to 8 a.m., while training camp is going on. It is Sean Pendergast. What's happening, man?
Hey, you'll hear me between 6 and 8 p.m. tonight, too, at 7:40 on Area 45.
There you go. There you go. That. As he gives another practice report. Practice reports all up and down. Again, thank you, and courtesy of Yuengling. All right, my man. There's another day of practice going on, and one of the interesting things that I heard when D'Amico Ryans was talking was he mentioned the tight ends, and he talked about them blocking significantly better. Did you get any feel for what's happening with the tight ends out there today at practice?
With the blocking, not so much. I mean, in general, the tight ends have been better throughout camp, and they made some plays again today. There were not a lot of plays to be made on offense today. This was, and I know we'll talk about this. The defense dominated. It's starting to get to a point that the defense is dominating enough to where I'm formulating big picture takes on all this. But we'll get to that. But to answer your question, Reggie, I mean, the blocking overall was not great as a team today. But Dalton Schultz made a couple of plays. Kate Stover had a touchdown. There were not many touchdowns today for the offense, so he had a touchdown. Today, I think my biggest takeaway from the tight ends, though, there were a couple of big drops over the middle on some plays. Brevin Jordan, who's had a really good camp so far, had dropped one of the few plays that really opened up for the first string offense today. If D'Amico's seeing that, he's seeing that. It was just overall not a great day for the offense.
Yeah, which takes me back to something we were talking about earlier, and we can zero in on specific players or groups, but you know, talking earlier, I was saying that I almost worry for this offense where you just keep getting battered every day against the defense, especially for a new system, new offense starting out, and how demoralizing that can be. As someone who's been at all these practices and was there today, like, what's the vibe even just for the offensive side of the football, as it seems like the defense has been so dominant day in and day out against that group?
Yeah, but I guess Luke, prefacing it with the risks of reading body language, mm-hmm. That was my biggest takeaway today was by the end of this practice, I felt like I was almost watching two different franchises out there. I was watching the defense was its own franchise and the offense was the other franchise, because these two groups were completely acting and interacting differently. The defense was high energy. Now, granted, they closed on as high a note as you can close on today. There were interceptions in each of the last three situational periods at the end of the practice. First string went against, you know, ones against one, twos against twos, threes against threes, all did a two-minute drill. And all three two-minute drills, they all ended in picks. And so, you know, so the recency of that probably was some of it. But really, even just watching throughout practice, man, that defense is such high energy, so positive. And it really jumped out at me today. And maybe some of it is our vantage point here at the Greenbrier, where they have a bunch of bleachers up in the end zone that are on a hill, and you can really see everything. Whereas opposed, I mean, you guys know, like in Houston, we're on ground level and you're having to look over players that are on the bench. You really don't get to see, you know, the bird's eye view of everything. But the today felt like a day where the defense, or the offense, I should say, just looked demoralized at the end of this practice. And rightfully so. Like, I guess it's, you know, it wasn't good. CJ Stroud did not have a good practice today. If you're a fan of defensive football, though, and low-scoring football, so far this training camp would seem to indicate take the under on a lot of Texans games this year.
We're talking to Sean Pendergast right here in the loop on Sports Radio 610 with a practice report courtesy of Yuengling. And I did want to ask you, because D'Amico also talked about this, like the distinction of being West Virginia with that 60-degree weather is they're not worrying about the weather and that they can kind of go more all out. You mentioned the energy on one side. Did you notice it even higher than what it had been in Houston? And I know for the offense, like, what is the energy comparative to what you had seen previously in Houston?
I didn't notice a big difference in this team. I think does a pretty good job of bringing the energy even in that heat, especially the defensive side. I mean, you know, Reggie, we stand right behind the defense at practice, so we hear everything and we see everything, all the interaction and stuff like that. So I don't think energy or weather or anything like that. Where, I mean, the weather was the same for both sides today. You know, it wasn't like the weather was good for the offense and bad for the defense or vice versa. I just think this defense is that much further ahead of the offense right now. And the offense had to shuffle along the offensive line pretty early in this practice. I don't know if you guys saw any of that banter, but Cam Robinson, the starting left tackle, went out the first play in team drills in 11-on-11. He went out with some leg injury that kept him out for the rest of practice. He went in the building. So they moved Ariante Ursary from right tackle to left tackle with the ones, which is his natural position. What was interesting was instead of just bumping Blake Fisher up from the twos to take the right tackle spot vacated by Ursary there, they bumped Titus Howard back out to right tackle and put Juice Scruggs in at right guard, which says to me right now that this team is more comfortable playing with Juice Scruggs on the first team offensive line than they are with Blake Fisher playing on the first team offensive line, which I think is neither is a great solution right now. Neither guy has been great in camp so far, but I just thought it was interesting. Like I always look at this, like whatever they're doing in this practice is what they would do in a game. And what that tells me right now is that if that were to have happened in a game, you wouldn't bring your swing tackle in to play right tackle. You would be bumping your right guard out to right tackle and bringing in one of your swing interior guys. So I thought that was really, really interesting.
Yes, for sure. An indictment on Blake Fisher, it seems. When it comes to the wide receiver position, and it doesn't just have to be today because you've been at all the practices, but who's stood out most to you? Who's kind of separating themselves at that position group from the rest of the pack?
I think the biggest thing is, Luke, nobody's separating themselves. Mm. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean guys have been bad. I think John Metchie has actually shown – John Metchie had one of the few really nice downfield plays for the offense today. Braxton Berrios has factored in at times offensively, not just in the return game, which I think most of us thought his avenue to make the team would be on the return as part of the return unit. And that may be what gets him on the team. But he's made some plays. I think Xavier Hutchinson is a guy that they like a lot, who has not made any, like, didn't make any wow plays today, but he had a couple of catches. I think we're all looking at it knowing there's four guys that are definitely going to make this team at wide receiver. It's Nico Collins, it's Christian Kirk, and then the two rookies out of Iowa State. They're all going to make the team. The battle after that is for what I would say is a maximum of two spots plus like a half a spot like Steven Sims had last year as sort of a return guy and an emergency receiver. But the tight end position, which we talked about a little bit earlier, they've got some guys that are doing some good things there. They may want to carry a fullback this year. It might not be that, okay, we're down to deciding who our sixth receiver is. It might be deciding who, like, your 10th or 11th sort of offensive skill guy. You know what I mean? Like, it may come down to, do we keep John Metchie or do we keep a fullback? You know, or do we keep John Metchie or does Luke Lachey make the 53-man roster? So it's not always necessarily where the receivers are battling each other. They're battling, if you're that far down the depth chart, you're battling whoever is battling for spots 53, 52, and 51. You might be battling with a defensive end. You know, do we keep six defensive ends or do we keep six wide receivers? That kind of thing.
Yeah, and you went exactly where I was hoping to go next, because defensive end, especially on a day like this, it might be a little bit tough to surmise between the different ones, but we know that, you know, the guys at the top. How are you seeing, especially on a day like today, the performances for your rush edges, especially the guys that are at depth?
They're all making plays, Reggie. I mean, I know you've been out there. They've been making plays throughout camp. They're making plays again today. Daryl Taylor had a nice sack today. Solomon Bird is a guy that nobody was factoring into their 53-man roster before training camp started, but he keeps showing up. And I think it's complicated by the fact that you've got a couple of guys on the PUP list in Derek Barnett and Denico Autry who are going to make this team in all likelihood. You know, I know Denico Autry has not played a lot of football for the Texans, but he's a guy who I know they like a lot. He's older, so maybe does that factor in positively or negatively? Do they want that veteran presence, or does the age thing factor into where they go, okay, well, availability might be an issue with this guy? The guys that are out there are making plays, but again, it's a lot like the running back position, which is, okay, there's all these second and third string guys that are really popping, but how does the team view Damian Pierce, who was working out off to the side again today? That kind of thing. So they're really interesting positions just because you've got guys that are doing things in practice who probably weren't on schedule to make this team, and in theory, they're going against guys who aren't practicing at all right now, and we don't know when they're going to practice.
Yeah, I know you caught up with C.J. Gardner-Johnson after practice. I'm sure we'll hear that tomorrow morning. But yeah, he seems like a real fun guy to talk to, I'm sure.
Yeah, he had a pick six today off of C.J. Stroud, mm-hmm. and you can imagine the energy surrounding that celebration, knowing what we know about C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I actually asked him, kind of like post-game show style, to, hey, you know, like I said, pretend that you're walking into the post-game show. My first question to you would be, take us through the pick six. And he said that was a drop that they just installed in the last couple of days. It was a new coverage that they had put in. So he thought that was really cool that, you know, he got to see it come to the ultimate fruition. It was neat, man. He's clearly really enjoying being on this team. Talked about, you know, what are the things that you see with this team that when you compare to Super Bowl teams that you've been on. So he kind of listed those things as well. He was really, really good.
Yeah, he seems to also have like a pretty good rapport, as I think all this defensive team does, with like Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith got a little run with the ones. Like, again, is he just continuing to skyrocket up for you?
He deserves it. Yeah, he's played really, really well. Like, yeah, he's been great. That's, you know, that was a pick that Nick was kind of criticized for, Casario.
Yeah.
But that's worked out.
Yeah, he does well in those circumstances, doesn't he? All right, I think one of the things that I want to do every day with you that we get a chance to do this, you know that we had kind of a pet cat draft. Now, of course, you don't have to consider that, but I want to know maybe a couple of guys, maybe a handful of guys that you felt like were the winners of practice today, and maybe that'll help us add some points. Are there any that come to mind for you immediately?
Yeah, for sure. I would say Mario Edwards had a lot of really good plays in the interior of the defensive line, including a sack. Woody Marks has been a guy who's flashed a little bit. He was getting the first set of reps with the twos today and had some really good runs. So I would put Woody Marks on that list. I mentioned Mario Edwards I would put on that list. Jalen Petrie should have had a pick today. You know, Jalen Petrie's been around the ball quite a bit at practice today and throughout camp, so I'll throw his name in there as well.
Okay, I like that very much. Can you break down like the Woody Marks? It's just good wiggle or just like good vision? What are you seeing specifically?
You got your point, man.
I know, but now this isn't about my point. I kind of want to, because we are still looking at the running back. We found it very interesting. I know that you were probably there when D'Amico was talking. When D'Amico mentions, you know, the running backs, and he immediately mentions Woody Marks first, then Jawar Jordan, then he mentions Nick Chubb as, you know, like, you know, the basically physicality. I don't remember the exact words. In that order, and so that jumped out.
Hey, Reggie, I'll tell you, because I know we're up against it. He is a no nonsense runner. Like he gets upfield quick. Woody Marks does. That's what I notice most about him. He's got nice wiggle. He's got all that stuff, but he is north and south quick. He gets upfield real quick.
That's right. All right. So you talked to C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Were there any other conversations you're able to have that we should be on the lookout for?
Seth had a conversation with Kamari Lassiter as well, and I'm sure that will be out there amongst the interwebs and on the radio at some point here very, very soon.
Very good. Make sure to follow Sports Radio 610 on all the social media platforms, and then follow these fine gentlemen, Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne, because, again, they've got conversations. They're on the ground. And, again, that was Sean Pendergast joining us for a practice report live from West Virginia, courtesy of
Daniel. Seth was about to jump on, but we were up against it, so I didn't want to mess your clock.
No, it's all good. We appreciate you doing it because, again, this is outside of your job description. So thanks for giving us a little bit of time. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sean Pendergast, again, joining us for a practice report from West Virginia, and that is courtesy of Yuengling. All right. I was not just trying to get my points.
Yeah, you try to get some extra credit,
no,
man.
No. I really and truly want to know what kind of runner we're looking at with Woody Marks, especially on the day, and what kind of things that we could possibly expect for him. That's a good point. Thank you for that counterpoint, John Harris. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's a Monday, so let's get some winners and losers from the weekend. 713-572-4610. Who are some folks that you believe were winners and or losers on the weekend? We'll talk about it next.